just one moment for the courtroom to clear. You may proceed.
May it please the court. My name is Steve Dunnigan, and I have the pleasure of representing Julio Latimer, the appellant in this case. The issue in this case is whether or not the Commonwealth carried its burden to show that the training and qualifications of Falco 2, a canine drug detection dog, sufficiently showed the reliability of that dog to the extent that it could establish probable cause to search Mr. Latimer's vehicle. The facts in this case are not in dispute. On May 15, 2011, Mr. Latimer was exiting a house that was under surveillance by the Hampton Narcotics Division. As he entered a vehicle, after leaving the house, the detective radioed ahead to a patrol officer to have Mr. Latimer stopped if he committed a traffic violation. He was stopped based upon the observation of an inoperable third brake light. At that point, Officer Boyd, a canine officer, was called to the scene, and he did a walk-around drug sniff test with Falco 2, and the dog alerted, made a positive alert at the driver's side door. A subsequent search.
Had the dog ever historically made any false alerts?
I don't believe there was evidence one way or the other with reference to false alerts. The only evidence that was submitted by the Commonwealth on the issue of the training and the qualifications of Falco 2 was by Officer Boyd. Officer Boyd was the canine dog's handler. And in the transcript, the court limited his testimony to his personal experience with the dog. Now, Officer Boyd was not a certified trainer for canine dogs. He was simply the canine dog's handler. So the only...
But he had been through training with the dog.
He had been through training with the dog.
How many hours of training did they have together?
I believe he had 8 hours, 30 minutes a day he spent with the dog training. There was other evidence with regards to training with the canine unit for the Hampton Police Department. But there was no discussion about what that training involved. We did a motion to suppress, and the court denied it based on the finding that they had established the reliability of Falco 2. Filed a motion for reconsideration based on the Harris v. Florida case, which came out about that time, in which the United States Supreme Court gave the states a little bit more guidance on what to look for to establish the reliability of a canine dog. And the court in Harris v. Florida essentially said there's no rigid test. It still reverts back to a totality of the circumstances case and whether or not that shows a likelihood of finding contraband where it's located. Did not change the general rule, but it made numerous suggestions on what to consider. And if you analyze the facts of our case in light of the facts of Florida v. Harris, I think that analysis supports the appellant's position. Essentially, in the Harris case, the dog was certified by a private company that specialized in training for canine drug detection dogs. In our case, there was no admissible evidence on Falco 2 being certified by any entity whatsoever.
Like Harris pointed out, that certification was not a prerequisite, just a factor.
Certification is not absolutely required, Your Honor. In fact, the Supreme Court said the certification by itself from a company known for controlled setting testing, that could be sufficient to show probable cause, but it wasn't absolutely necessary. What the court did say in Florida v. Harris is that the performance of the dog, the field performance of the dog, is of limited import. That's the word used by the Supreme Court of the United States. In our case, the only evidence of how the dog did was his performance in the field.
That's not true, is it, counsel? Didn't the officers you just discussed with Justice Kelsey testify that he trained with the dog 8 hours a day, 2 times a month, and 30 minutes every day?
Yes, but they did not discuss the results of that training.
Wasn't there a question of the officer, have you ever had a false positive either in training or in the field, and the answer was no?
I believe that is a correct, that's a correct recitation of the facts, Your Honor.
Okay.
But the point is that there were no facts elicited, no testimony regarding how this dog did in the training by someone that's qualified to say how the dog did. The only testimony was by Officer Board. He is the dog's handler. He's not a trainer of the dogs. So no one presented evidence with, that was qualified to say how the dog did in any testing.
Can you do any better than 100?
No, sir. But it's 100 in field tests or field performance, which is of limited import.
Well, it's not of limited import when it gets it right every single time. Then the testimony is 150 to 200 times. I mean, the statement about field testing not being reliable is unfortunate, because it is reliable if there's 150 to 200 times, and as Justice Goodwin said, you're 100% correct. The problem is when you use it the other way. The other way is when the dog alerts and they can't find anything. And the problem with that is they might be smelling residue from drugs having previously been in the location. Or they may very well be smelling drugs that are there. The perpetrator simply is very clever in where it's hidden. So it works on that side of the equation. But it doesn't work when there's a 100% success rate.
Well, that certainly is a fact that shows he does well in the field. But what I think the court emphasized also is that one of the problems with testing just by the handler is that there are conscious or subconscious cues that can be given by the dog's handler. And those cues are eliminated when the testing is done by another entity that's not involved in the handling of the dog. And we have absolutely no evidence whatsoever as to how this dog did, except from the handler, not from any trainer. Nobody qualified to say he passed this, he passed that. Simply no one was called as a witness. It was simply the officer saying in general terms how he did, but there were no controlled setting environments upon which his dog was certified, tested, limited to just field performance tests. And I certainly couldn't find any case law from this honorable court and other courts where the only evidence was in the field performance area.
Maybe I'm missing something, counsel. Would it be too much to assume that the training is in a controlled setting, that there is someone there planning the drugs to see if the dog is going to find them?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that would be way too much to assume. There's no testimony whatsoever as to how the training was done. There was no discussion whatsoever. You said it went through a training program, the Hampton Canine Police Department. That would have to, I believe, presume facts that are not in evidence, and I don't think that's a fair inference that could lead to that conclusion. If there had been a certification of any sort from a private company, plus these field performance results, I think they would have met their burden. Or if the field performance was done in a controlled setting, they may have met their burden. But when all we have is a general statement by the canine dog's handler that he's doing well and there's 100% alerts, I don't think that's sufficient. That's not, I believe, what Florida v. Harris is trying to establish as far as guidelines to help the states on the issue of whether or not the dog's reliability has been shown.
You're familiar with our case, Jones.
Yes, sir.
I would characterize Florida versus Harris as being far more forgiving than our case in Jones. That Jones had laid down a standard, and Florida versus Harris is a much more liberal standard.
It is, Your Honor, but in the Jones case, I believe the defendant conceded that the dog was trained properly. We did not concede that in our case. And that is the big distinction. We did not concede he was certified, concede that he was trained properly, whereas that's the big difference in the Jones case. The defendant conceded
so
the training.
There's testimony about training, rather extensive training. You're concerned about how it was conducted. But this dog has the highest batting average of anybody I saw in the World Series.
Well, Judge, I would agree. And maybe if that testimony came from somebody that could explain that was qualified to explain how the tests were conducted, the field tests were done, how each result was rendered. But we just have the dog's handler. He's not qualified except to handle the dog. There's no other conclusion that there's any testimony whatsoever from any expert, from any...
Can you imagine what an educated non-lawyer would think of our conversation today, that here's a dog that has a 100% accuracy rate, he smells drugs in your client's car, and guess what? Finds drugs in your client's car. But you want us to hold as a matter of law that it was just irrational, it was beyond reasonable care for a officer to rely upon this dog. That just, whenever an argument's made that I could not explain to an average, educated, common sense layperson like that, perhaps we're in the wrong to go that direction.
Well, Your Honor, with all due respect, I think if the court's example was preceded by facts showing that this dog had been certified by another entity, somebody qualified to certify this dog, and then this handler gets this qualified, certified dog and has 100% in the field performance area, then I would have a hard time standing here. But we don't have any indication the dog was ever properly trained.
But, counsel, it sounds like the Harris Supreme Court was reacting to this strict evidentiary checklist. Would
yes.
you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
But it sounds like what you're saying now is you want a strict evidentiary checklist, but it would involve on the training point as opposed to on the field point.
Well, Your Honor, I would say, and I'd like to quote what Harris, the court said in that. I want to make sure I get it correct. The court said that... rule that if the state has produced proof from controlled settings that a dog performs reliably in detecting drugs, the court should find probable cause. If, by contrast, the defendant has challenged the state's case by disputing the reliability of the dog overall or a particular alert, then the court should weigh the competing evidence. And there is no competing evidence except this unqualified handler's description of how a dog does when the dog is with him, without any explanation as to how, what are the circumstances regarding his 100% correct alert rate. If there was anything other than the field test, I think I would have a more difficult argument. But according to Harris, I believe, and it's outright stated, but I think require a little bit more than something which the court says is of limited import. Thank you.
All right, you have 32 seconds remaining.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Elizabeth Kiernan, and I represent the Commonwealth in this appeal. The question before the Court today, similar to any other probable cause determination, is whether the facts surrounding this dog's alert, viewed through the lens of common sense, would make a reasonable person believe contraband would have been found in the defendant's car. We're dealing with a dog here that's a trained and reliable police dog, and Officer Boyd was reasonable to rely on his alert. Falco was originally trained by the ASCT, the American Society of Canine Trainers, same organization that Officer Boyd was trained with. He had been in service with the Hampton Police Department for 5 years. 3 of those years, he had been partnered with Officer Boyd. During his 3 years with Officer Boyd prior to this stop, the pair had completed training exercises every day and had trained with the police department's master trainer for 2 8-hour sessions every month. 16 hours a month for 3 years amounts to over 550 hours of training with the Hampton Police Department. As the Supreme Court recognized in Harris, police departments have strong incentives to have these dogs accurately detect drugs in the field, and the court expressly recognized that the dog, Aldo, in the Harris case, had recently completed one of these trainings, and even if he hadn't been certified, that training would have been sufficient to prove his reliability. In response to Justice Powell's question, I think it is a fair assumption on this record that the training of Falco by the Hampton Police Department occurred in a controlled setting.
You mean fair inference?
Correct, Your Honor. Officer Boyd testified, this is on page 49 of the appendix, that he had the opportunity to observe Falco and observe him having positive alerts for narcotics in training. Presumably the narcotics the dog was alerting to at the police department, it was a controlled setting. They knew where the drugs were, and they had the opportunity to determine how the dog was doing. Further, appendix page 46 is where officer testifies this dog has no history of false positives, and that also followed on a conversation of the dog's training. This is a highly trained dog, 3+ years, as the court noted, perfect batting average, and he's been trained with this handler during that time. Given the dog's stellar field record, his extensive training, and his lack of false positives, it was certainly reasonable in this case for the officer to believe that his alert meant that there were narcotics in this vehicle, and in fact there were, although that's not relevant to the probable cause determination. As Justice McClanahan noted, the defendant is asking this court to impose a strict rule in these cases. This Virginia Supreme Court in Harris, as well as this court in Jones, did espouse a fluid, probable cause, totality of the circumstances type approach, and requiring the Commonwealth in every case to provide the dog certifications or the dog's report card from its initial training is simply not in keeping with this court's jurisprudence on probable cause.
Do you agree with the Chief's earlier hypothesis that actually Harris is more fluid than Jones?
I think that in this case, I don't think there's a meaningful difference. However, Jones does go into more detail as considering the training of the officer, whether the handler has been trained to recognize the alert, whether the dog is reasonable. But ultimately, in Jones, just as in Harris, the court was making a determination of whether this dog was trained and reliable. And that is a...
But the specificity in Harris is not quite as rigid as the specificity you can infer from Jones.
That's correct, Your Honor. Just to recap for the court, unless there are any further questions, this dog was trained and reliable, and his alert would lead a reasonable person to believe there would be narcotics in the defendant's car. We'd ask the court to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dunning, do you have 32 seconds?
I would just say that there was no evidence that this dog was trained by the American Society of Canine Trainers. That was the subject of an objection based on the witnesses not having personal knowledge. And if the court looks at the court's ruling, the court limited to the personal knowledge of that trainer. So that was not admissible evidence with regards to the American Society of Canine Trainers. Even if it was, what are they? Who are they? Is that an internet training coup? We simply don't know. We have no information whatsoever about any training program at all, except one came from Hampton, one, if the court sees that ruling differently, from the American Society of Canine Handlers, which we know nothing about. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. The court will be in recess and will reconvene at 10 minutes after 11.
All rise.